When I was a little boy, it was very obvious that I had a lot of childish conversations when I was playing with other children in my neighborhood. One of the conversations was a debate about who is better, who is better looking. When the competition could not be settled by only the two kids, the father role brought into the conversations some topics that were brought up, where my daddy works, where he has traveled, and where what he has done, and so forth. So we talked as if our father's accomplishments were our own. Even in a small child-concentric world, they thought that their power came from their fathers who were behind them. Then, when I was a little older, talking about fathers is a little bit too childish, and I brought up my ancestors who I ever never met. At the time, it did not really matter who our fathers and ancestors really were. It was the comfort and strength they gave us that drove us to use them to brag. After a couple decades, in 2003, I came to Claremont, a town, small town on the eastern edge of the Los Angeles County. In the meantime, I was told that one of the Methodist church in Korea, the leader, the bishop, was coming to visit Claremont. So he came to a nearby Chinese buffet for a short visit to comfort the Methodist student with a little allowance. So I was hungry, I need a little money for the books, so I attend. And the bishop began to say hello to each one of us, but what I surprised was when he said this, "I think I will know you better if you tell me who your father is." At the time, there were about 20 students who graduated same theological seminary in Korea, so alumni, alumnae, and then introduced their fathers as pastors in Korea. So in my personal feeling, the bishop's reaction were different according to their father's fame as a pastor in Korea. And it was my turn, so I says, "Pastor, my father is just an elder, a sincere elder for lifetime long in a church." And he said, "Sorry, I did not know many elders," and then pass it on. I didn't get a fair chance to introduce myself to him. He may miss the rising star for future Methodist church. See, he missed. I'm here. I was not feeling well. On the way back, I have $100 on my hands. Mission completed, but it was because his way of learning about the student was like the games of young children. To be introduced as someone's son, I wondered if he really came to cheer us up or because he wanted to be bribed our parents once he went back to Korea. I tasted the political connections of Korean Methodist Church. Instead of feeling discouraged, my dad wasn't a famous pastor. Discouraged by the fact, I rather had a strange gratitude to the Lord that my father was not a pastor in the case. After more time had passed, July 4th, 2017, I sat in my very spacious, very comfortable, and well-organized office. Actually, it is about four times bigger than our awesome district president's office. And listening to the fireworks on Independence Day and preparing to preach. As I have been preaching on the gospel of Matthew in the last couple of weeks, I was meditating on Matthew chapter 10, verse 24 through 33. But the first two verses grabbed me, and I kept wrestling with the first two verses. And my meditation lengthened, and it was not until Wednesday night that I sat down again at the computer. So let's see the first two verses. The student is not above the teacher, nor a servant above his master. It is enough for students to be like their teachers and servants like their masters. If the head of the house has been called Beelzebub, how much more the members of his household? I'm going back to my past two experiences with these verses. The first of the stories is not really far from the world of Jesus, that the children who brag with their father's identities. Again, it did not really matter who our fathers really were. It was the comfort and strength they gave us that drove us to use them to brag. It is cute. We trusted our own fathers then, others dad. And we could add it up to we believe our real father and trust him. But the second story at Clement is really far away from Jesus' teaching, because those students with famous fathers trusted that their fathers could provide them with an easier way to having a successful ministry in the worldly view. On the night, the common ground of those gathered should not have been Methodist international student or Methodist church pastor's kids. Their only common ground should have been being servant and student and disciple of Jesus. Only by this, I can say amen on those first two verses. But in our private life, and then in our private meeting on the night, teacher and master is not Jesus. But teacher and master were their own fathers. And there they were reassured of their bright future by the bishop. When they shook hands and greeted each other, not in the name of the Lord, but in the name of their father. And among those 20, at least I could recall, three of them inherited their father's ministry. We need to pray for those brothers in South Korea, the Holy Spirit guiding, empower the ministry over there, but they have a socially problem. Those churches, just little part of the elephant, the church movement, a father gave their ministry, his ministry, to the son, like they're his own business. My thoughts on my personal experience are getting longer, but what about you? If there is anything that guarantees your strong future, I hope that it is your faith in the love of God, our Father, who counts our hairs and cares for even the birds on the air. I hope it is not the connection of the world that looks after you securely. Do not trust on too much your 401k. And with the grace of Jesus Christ, who has accomplished that love, I hope your faith in the Holy Spirit, who will fill you up, guarantees your future. When we live in this world with such true faith, sometimes there are times when our faith gives a little discomfort with worldly things. Furthermore, when we try to proclaim that faith, we may be persecuted and give up our lives. In the verse right after today's reading, Jesus said, "Do not suppose that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword." As we have spoken through the sermon last week, living in this land with a true belief as a Christian and preaching the gospel may be contrary to the flow of the world. The word of God and will of the Lord are not always consistent with the principles or morals of the world. Some try to reinterpret the word of God according to the world stand. And just like you and me, others try to change the wrong and simple world with word of God. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 22, the Lord says, "You will be hated by everyone because of me, but the one who stands firm to the end will be saved." God is the one who overcomes tribulations and trials and perseveres. All this was done through Jesus Christ on the cross. So we proclaim Christ Jesus as our Lord, as our Savior, although it gives us difficulty and hate from the world. By gathering together like today and worshiping and studying the word and carrying the gospel to the world, we proclaim in the word of God, we specifically want to proclaim Jesus Christ. It is not a proclamation that expect to hear good response from the world. It is a proclamation that we are transformed by the Holy Spirit and that our transformed life, our transformed light, our transformed salt are going to change the world. Our ministry cannot stand in this land even just a moment without the grace of the Lord. God, give us grace and make us worship together and continuing this ministry and under the name of apostles. Even though our holy ministry sometimes gets ignored and even persecuted, our Lord give us three reasons why we don't have to afraid of to proclaim Jesus. The first reason, please repeat after me, God the omniscient. He knows everything. Matthew chapter 10 verse 26 says, "So do not be afraid of them, for there is nothing concealed that will not be disclosed, or hidden that will not be made known. What I tell you in the dark, speak in the daylight. What is whispered in your ear, proclaim from the roofs." When we come together and do his ministry, preach, we do not need to be afraid of the world because our God knows every little details. The gospel of Christ we proclaim makes the hidden things known. He knows our name. He knows our situation. He even can count our hairs. Our role as witnesses, it sometimes feels hard and reckless, like being struck with rocks. And it is difficult to change the world. But it is not us, but the power of the gospel of the proclaimed Lord. God is our master. God is our teacher. God is our eternal. God is in charge, no matter how we are treated. He is the one behind us who knows all things. And second reason why we don't have to be afraid of, repeat after me, Almighty God. He has power. The Matthew chapter 10, 28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." When we gather together, worship, and proclaim his name, we say, do the ministry. There is no need to be afraid of Satan and darkness because God takes care of our spirit and body. Do not be afraid. Though the world's strong waves swallows up and the roaring lion wait to attack us, though the evil of the world may shatter our flesh, our faith will stand in the glory with the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. The church began on the cross of the Lord, on the resurrection, on the ascension of Jesus Christ, and on the descent of the Holy Spirit. And many ancestors of faith were martyred in preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And third reason why we don't have to be afraid of, repeat after me, God the provider. In following verse says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care, and even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. When you come together and do his ministry, proclaim Jesus Christ, there is no need to be afraid of the world, because the love of God, who prefers us above all things, and God of loving, looks after us. Do you know how much the two sparrows were worth back in Jesus' time? One penny. Even my 6 years old Claire doesn't pick up a penny when she sees on the ground. They were really cheap. But even so cheap sparrows are in the care of God's love. How much more wealth and wealthy could we be in the image of God? And how much more love could we get when we already got his begotten Son? The love of God, who takes care of us, can be seen in the lives of the people who knows, who believe, and who acknowledge God. The Bible says, whoever acknowledges me before others, I will also acknowledge before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before others, I will disown before my Father in heaven. Our holy ministry proclaims the triune God, the Father, Creator, and the Son, Jesus Christ, as Redeemer, and the Holy Spirit as a Sanctifier. Our holy ministry is given to us and built by God's mercy. And our holy ministry spread God's compassion, God's love to the people in the world. And we also preach, proclaim Jesus Christ, even if this causes us to give up a lot of things and make our lives harder. Jesus says, rather be afraid of the one who can destroy both and body, soul and body in hell. If there is anything for us to be afraid of as a believer, it would be God. But this fear is not terrifying. This is all respect and trust. So I want to finish my message today with as a singing the Korean song I have been singing from middle school, and I have been trying to remember of my first love in him, my first heart in him, and my first calling in him. So this song helps me a lot to bring back those love and then bring me the true repentance. And then make me ask the Lord to help me care for the holy ministry through my life and through my fellow believers. During day as the sun, during night as the moon, how could I live like them? They are their whole life for other people, lighting up darkness without any grief. I have a dream to be a salt and a light of the world.
wanted to lead to the Lord people who are poor in spirit. But my greedy and weak self is a big burden to me, and this big burden stresses me. So, oh Jesus, please help me. Living like Jesus, living like a Paul, how could I live like them? They gave up their lives for other people. The love given, my Lord, is freely given away, love. But I like to receive more than I give. So my words seem like Jesus, but my mind is still dirt. And so I only count what I receive. So, oh, Jesus, please help me.
Are you good enough? Are you pure enough to bring and to hold this ministry? We are not. Any of those titles is not originally belongs to us. It is given to us. That's why the Word of God keeps empowers and encourages us doing this ministry in His name. That's why we don't have to be afraid of the world. Instead, we go forward with our true faith in Jesus Christ. Amen.